Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. If copyright lasted forever, it would be very difficult. We have got that awesome story, plus UK scraps digital ID. But first, withdrawing the United States from international organizations, conventions, and treaties that are contrary to the interests of the aforementioned United States. Taking this from WhiteHouse.gov by the authority vested in me as President Pilato. By the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, I hereby direct Section 1, Purpose A, on February 4th, 2025, I issued Executive Order 14199, withdrawing the United States from and ending funding to certain United Nations organizations and reviewing United States support to all international organizations. That executive order directed the Secretary of State, noted fashionista Marco Rubio, in consultation with the United States representative to the United Nations, to conduct a review of all international intergovernmental organizations which is the United States is a member and provides any type of funding or support, and all conventions and treaties to which the United States is a party, to determine which organizations, conventions, and treaties are contrary to the interests of the United States. The Secretary of State has reported his findings in Executive Order 14199. I have considered, this is all so formal, I've now considered the thing I just mentioned in the Section A, and after deliberating with my cabinet, had determined that it is contrary to the interests of the United States to remain a member of, participate in, or otherwise provide support to organizations listed in Section 2 of this memorandum. Consistent with that executive order and pursuant to the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of America, I hereby direct all executive departments and agencies, to take immediate steps to effectuate the withdrawal of the United States from the organization listed in Section 2 of the memorandum as soon as possible, for United Nations entities' withdrawal means ceasing participation in or funding those entities to the extent permitted by law. James, are decades happening again this week?
It certainly appears that way, doesn't it? And yes, this is pretty significant, although the 66 international organizations, it involves a little bit of padding. Some of these are sort of rump organizations and advisory bodies that aren't really effective and don't really do anything anyway in the first place. So whatever, it's just makes a bigger list. But there are some very, very significant withdrawals here. Obviously, the UNFCCC/IPCC. For people who don't know about that, please check my archives. I have a couple of decades of archives going on right now on all of that garbage history of the way that the people's natural concern about the environment has been co-opted by the billionaire oligarchs for their globalist agenda. And this is a genuine, huge removal of one brick from the edifice of that globalist wall that's been constructed for decades now on the back of that propaganda. So it's an important event, and let's not downplay that. Also, the UN Population Fund. I'll throw in a link to news about superpowers article on Trump's withdrawal list masks U.S. pullback from climate security and development bodies, where they talk about some of the fact that, yeah, some of these organizations that they're withdrawing from are not so important. But it says specifically about the UN Population Fund that the withdrawal from that fund entrenches earlier funding cuts and narrows the options for USAID and health agencies to support reproductive health and demographic programs through a widely used multilateral platform. Well, good riddance. Stupid nonsense waste of, well, U.S. taxpayer dollars, certainly. And I think governments around the world should take note that these types of organizations are a grift. They are absolutely a grift by globalists and bureaucrats and technocrats that are trying to make money off of these types of programs that are fundamentally, in many cases, anti-human. And so I'm certainly not crying over the loss of any of that. Now, having said that, of course, you know, right moves for wrong reasons. We're starting to see that more and more in various different ways. We can get a sense of that from the New American article that we're linking up here on UN Trump. Trump exits entire UN climate regime. Is it dead? Where they note about what does U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio have to say about this executive order? He took aim at the UNFCCC in particular, highlighting, among other concerns, that the bureaucracy created under the UNFCCC was squandering millions of dollars on funding for climate alarmist anti-energy investment in the West Bank and Gaza. Yeah, that's why we're removing America from the UN. It's because those damn UNers are trying to help the Palestinians, right? Well, anyway, right moves, wrong reasons. What else is new? But I am certainly celebrating the fact that the UNFCCC has just lost at least one of its fangs and has become a little bit more toothless than it was before. That is to the good.
A lot of grift being busted and exposed. And a lot of this started as soon as Trump was reelected and Elon and Doge. And we're going to expose all this corruption and waste in government. Again, these guys are broken clocks. They've turned out to be right. It's looking like two times a day. Memes of Secretary of State Marco Rubio wearing different giant coats is a thing now for some reason. That's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 615. Our second story, maybe a little bit of a unmitigated, not unmitigated good news episode. Our second story is always fun to hit. James, Betty Boop, Nancy Drew, Blondie, and more officially in the public domain for 2026. Grabbing this from Paramount Sinai and CBS News. New Year's Day commemorated the passing of time and the start of a new chapter, so it's fitting that that same day, January 1st, also represents an opportunity to breathe new life into thousands of creative works nearly a century old. As of January 1st, 2026, characters like Betty Boop, Nancy Drew, and a variety of popular movies, books, and songs have entered the public domain. They join a growing list of cultural icons that are no longer under copyright protection, as we have reported for you here in recent years, including Popeye the Sailor Man and the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse. The year 2026 marks the first time that any copyrighted books, film, song, and art published in the 1930s have entered the U.S. public domain. As of January 1st, protections expired for published works from 1930 and sound recordings from 1925, essentially 101 years old. Some of the most notable works that are available for free use by anyone to remix, remake, reuse, satirize, destroy, make into adult or horror films, or do whatever you want to them. The Murder at the Vicarage by Agatha Christie, the first novel featuring elderly amateur detective Miss Marple. The Secret of the Old Clock by Carolyn Keene, the first appearance of teen detective Nancy Drew, and three of the follow-ups. I do have some of those back on the shelf. James, you know I have the collector disease. And the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew books all look, they all go well on a shelf together. They all, you know, if you ever saw people or in the school's collections of National Geographic, to see that many of a collection, you know, I love it. The Little Engine That Could by Waddy Piper, Fleischer Studios' Dizzy Dishes, the first cartoon in which Betty Boop appears, Disney's The Chain Gang and The Picnic, both depicting the earliest versions of Mickey's dog Pluto. The initial 4 months of Blondie comic strips by Chick Young, featuring the earliest iterations of the titular character and her dumb-dumb boyfriend Dagwood. The film All Quiet on the Western Front, directed by Louis Milestone, Best Picture winner at the 3rd Academy Awards. King of Jazz by John Murray Anderson, Bing Crosby's first appearance on film. Animal Crackers from the Marx Brothers, Big Trail with John Wayne. But Not For Me by the Gershwins, just one of the greatest all-time pop tunes. Along with Georgia On My Mind by Hoagy Carmichael, Dream a Little Dream of Me. Piet Mondrian's painting, Composition with Red, Blue, and Yellow. I love to hate on Jackson Pollock and Mark Rothko and then just put on a... Then I learn later that, of course, the CIA used that degenerate art as part of the culture war against the Soviets. But stuff like Mondrian, James, the one I can mostly think of as Broadway Boogie Woogie, did have some art in public school. The original Betty Boop, early Nancy Drew mysteries, and Mickey Mouse's dog Pluto among the creative works. When a copyright's protection lapses, it lands in the public domain, allowing anyone to use it to build upon it to see as they see fit, for free, without needing permission. If copyright lasted forever, it would be very difficult for a lot of creators to make the works they want to make without worrying about being in the crosshairs of a copyright lawsuit. But just because, as I believe we've warned in years past, James, just because the copyright expired doesn't mean that everybody can do everything to it. The original Betty Boop from the 1930s is in the public domain. The modern version is not. I'm not sure how much they rebooted that. So to avoid any infringement, any reuse would need to steer clear of her newer characteristics. And this was the same thing with the Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse from a couple years ago. Additionally, the character is subject to multiple trademarks, which further complicates its use. James, we just synchromystically, I feel like, watched Hell's Angels last Friday in Monarchy, Howard Hughes's stunning film from 1930. It is actually tying into a longer bit of my work that I'm going to do about the invisible hand, liberty versus authority in American television and film. And you and I should maybe talk a little bit more about that as this year goes on. Hell's Angels was stunning, James. It's like a 95-year-old movie, maybe better than any new movie I've seen this century. Have you ever seen it? It's real buildings blowing up. It's real planes exploding. It's bonkers.
Sounds awesome. I am absolutely primed to see it, and I will. And now I can just download it for free, legally. Yay. Yeah, you know what? This is a good... let's put this in the unmitigated good news category. It is unmitigated good news, because what is bad about this? It speaks to something so obvious that most people overlook it, which is that we all understand, yeah, it's ridiculous to have something from 100-plus years ago under copyright or some sort of intellectual protection. We don't want to pay, UGG Cavemanson for the patent on the wheels on our car. We don't want to play his brother Thorg for the, campfire that we create, because he did that first, back however many generations ago. Of course, that's nonsense. We all know that. But no, there's some reasonable amount of time in which the government can tell you what you can do with your physical property. Like, you can't have those kind of combination of bits and bytes on your computer because they're owned by someone who's been dead for 20 years. It's total nonsense, but we go along with it because, the economy would collapse if we didn't have these types of protections. Bunk and nonsense. And if people want to know about that bunk and nonsense, they can go to CorbettReport.com/IP. I did a podcast on Steal This Podcast, Please, talking about my aversion to intellectual property and the fact that it is, even economically speaking, it's a bad idea, let alone everything else, culturally speaking, etc. So, good. Some more stuff is now legally and officially in the public domain, and I hope people will play with it and use this cultural heritage of ours while we can, and in the ways that we can, and make use of this, because this is humanity's really real legacy on this earth.
I have noted, joked, quipped, we will spend the first 100 years of the internet completely analyzing and deconstructing the previous 100 years of pop culture. James, imagine hearing in the news, Beethoven's estate has filed a lawsuit against unlawful Spotify. So let's keep the good news train a-running and do a little bit of update roundup of not unmitigated good news. This was new to me. I learned it from you guys last night when we were exchanging our show notes. Starmer abandons plans for compulsory digital ID. That is a win. Sir Keir Starmer has abandoned plans for mandatory digital ID for workers amid concerns that it'll undermine public trust in the scheme. That's a very hilarious and telling sentence. We're not going to do this because we're worried it might, make you not like this. The Prime Minister had previously announced that the IDs would be compulsory to verify someone's right to work in the UK. Instead, they'll be optional when they are introduced in 2029, with workers given the choice to whether use the documents or to verify their identity digitally instead. Use other documents, sorry. Paper. A government source said about the compulsory element was stopping conversation about what digital IDs could be used for generally. So they're mad that the public is now getting ahead of them and realizing how this is going to be used against them. The source said stepping back from mandatory use cases will deflate one of the main points of contention. So they admit we're doing this to take the steam out of your complaints about this. We don't want the risk of your cases being some 65-year-old in a rural area being barred from working because he hasn't installed the ID. It's what you did to everybody with COVID a couple years ago, but okay, I'll believe you. In September, Starmer said that he would make a new, free-of-charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work before the end of this parliament. He said, "We need to know who is in our country." Just a real change of pace, seeing as how they spent the last 20 years calling people racist for worrying about all the people that were coming in. and that IDs would prevent migrants who come here slip into the shadow economy and remain here illegally. Somali daycares could not be reached for comment. Anyone starting a new job would have been required to show the digital ID, which would then be automatically checked against a central database of those entitled to work in the UK. While right-to-work checks will still be mandatory in the form of other forms of documentation, such as an electronic visa or a passport, will be valid. A consultation to start within weeks will explore which verification checks could be used. So they're still figuring out which things they might do. Government said, we are committed to mandatory digital right-to-work checks. We have always been clear that details on the digital ID scheme will be set out following a full public consultation, which will launch shortly. Digital ID will make everyday life easier for people, ensuring public services are more personal, joined up, and effective, while also remaining inclusive. You will be absorbed into the inclusive Borg, and I did see our old buddies, the Freds, tweeting earlier today. I don't believe you. It'll be remarketed, repackaged, renamed, and it'll come back as something else. But still, take this victory. Hold this victory and sort of, as they say, keep that energy. Because you know they're going to come back for it again. And maybe think about, in the meantime, hooking up with your English farmers who are not spraying manure all over the place like French farmers might. But it sounds like they're getting close. In other not unmitigated good news updates, data center project cancellations quadrupled in 2025 as the locals fight back. And sure haven't heard anything about the ULAS cameras anymore. Oh, that's right, because everybody destroyed them and they stopped doing it. Trump may save AM radio. James, you know, I love every single word in that headline. Meanwhile, the U.S. childhood vaccine schedule shrinks. And feeding ourselves, breaking new ground for the local food movement in Ireland. James, there are people all around the world making their moves, making changes, making things happen for themselves, and hopefully in some small way, it's seeds, literal and figurative, that we have hopefully planted in our near 17 years of doing New World Next Week. James, you gonna? That's, I already Captain Buzzkilled on the UK ID scheme. What about the other ones?
I'm going to pile on the Captain Buzzkill on the digital ID, actually, because, yeah, in fact, I will give the credit to Kit Knightley at Off Guardian. I know he's written quite a bit about the digital ID plans of Starmer and the fact that this was the kind of trial balloon that they put out in front of the public to be shot down, and that the real, you know, the real teeth are coming later. And that could happen in a number of different ways. One that I'll just point to is, Hakeem Anwar was talking about in my conversation on the only real solution to digital ID, he was talking about the concept of the digital public infrastructure, which is much larger than a singular ID app thing that you download and must use. It's the entire infrastructure of the digital ID and all of the ecosystem of this that's already created and is already functioning, and we're already using various pieces of it already. It's just the, you know, missing that one single key, and maybe it doesn't even need that singular key. Maybe it's already, you know, embedded in the fabric of our reality. So yes, I am not going to say this is a bad thing. It is a good thing, and it represents the fact that the people are at least aware enough, at least have enough of a spidey sense and survival instinct to realize that this digital ID is not a good thing and we do not want it. But yes, we have to think more deeply about what that is and how we don't let that happen, because they are going to, of course, cry efficiency. It'll be so efficient and wonderful, and the government will be able to help you in so many different ways if you just give into this digital ID. We do not want the government to be efficient. We do not want all of their records to join up nicely. We do not want them to know every aspect of everything we're doing at all times, because that power should not be in the hands of anyone, ever. And unless people understand that that is the basis for our opposition to digital ID, I'm not sure we're really progressing. Anyway, I won't rain on the parade too much. It is, yes, let's all take a moment to pat ourselves on the back, but let's not stop. We have to keep pressing on this issue.
I've just heard from Disney that Spidey Sense is a copywritten phrase, James. So you're gonna. Anyway, can you? I mean, we're gonna hear this. My 6G injection doesn't work unless you get yours too. Who knows how long we might be away from the next giant COVID-like scam? And that reminds me, James, I'm always playing classic Monarchy on my radio broadcast. So it's now that I've been doing it for over 20 years, I can say, here's my episode from this day in 2007. And we were playing New World next week. I don't even know what number it is. We weren't numbering them yet, I guess, James. It must have been that small of a number. But this day, 16 years ago, on New World Next Week for January 14th, UNICEF child death campaign in Africa failed. And it links to a BBC article that says, this vaccine trial didn't work and it actually made people more susceptible to the thing we were trying to stop. The second story is about swine flu. They organized the panic. Even forgotten. And they're not even talking about the 1970s swine flu scam. They're talking about the much more recent Obama-era scam. And speaking of, Obama expands federal power over states with what? Trump's executive orders. They're all doing it. They all do the same thing. The names have slightly changed, but it is the same story, James. I was joking in my chat. I was like, damn, I could just play this today and say, hey, here's my new episode for 2026. You know, it's all talking about eugenics and lies and how, regardless of which Coke or Pepsi president here in the United States, they'll pretty much stick to the agenda, James. Kind of mind-blowing. I will include the links to that classic 16-year-old episode of New World next week. Again, we look all young and positive, and you're in the old school department. You got the big curtain behind you, and we also, on them, I've noticed, have to say, okay, we should probably wrap this up real quick, because they would only let us upload 15 minutes. James, here we are still at this point now, 17 years later. And although the website, newworldnextweek.com, has changed its form and function, it is still there to support Corbett Report and Media Monarchy's work, because you have never heard any advertisements from us. You've just heard the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before they're published anywhere. I play those on my radio stream, which you can find for free still at MediaMonarchy.com/listen, James. That is about 10 a.m. New Mexico time each morning. And of course, all that'll be linked up, man.
Awesome. Well, I don't know what it's like in New Mexico right now, but it's getting chilly in Japan, so I'm going to put on my Corbett Report toque that you can get at newworldnextweek.com, and if you are a cool kid, then you will get one. And we'll leave it there for this week. James, thanks again for the stories, and looking forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, man.
Take care.